1160 AM, Oakland, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Let's go to Ireland. Let's link up with our colleague, newscaster, broadcaster, and sportscaster, Kevin O'Connor. How are you, Kevin?
Very good. Nice week here. Temperature was at 64 degrees today, and it's sunny. North to match Republic's 12.5% corporation tax. Train strike Sunday and Monday to affect 160,000 travelers, including, of course, those from All-Ireland football semifinals, Kerry and Mayo. New search for IRA disappeared man and death of former Taoiseach Albert Reynolds, who suffered from Alzheimer's disease for the last 5 years. In sport, Mayo's great crusade continues, but they're just 1 point favourites against a youthful Kerry team without the Gooch, that's Colm Cooper, and they're hoping to make it to the third final in a row. Waiting for them in the final are a rampant Dublin team, one of the best for many years. A superb 65 puts Rory McIlroy back in contention, 5 shots behind the leaders at Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey. And Man United manager Van Gaal has a big job to do after his side's 2-1 defeat to Swansea in the opening round of the Premiership. They play Sunderland tomorrow. Remembering my friend Albert Reynolds, aged 81, who was Taoiseach for just 2.5 years, but in that short period became the architect of the peace process. He will be recalled as the statesman who laid the cornerstone of peace in the North, ending 3 decades of unremitting horror and murder in these islands and leading to 3,600 deaths. The millionaire businessman will, with the common touch, should be recalled as someone who worked tirelessly and effectively to help take the Irish economy out of the doldrums in the early to mid-1990s. By the time he left office in November 1994, the Provisional IRA's long campaign of violence was effectively over for good, and many others who served in the Taoiseach's office for far longer achieved much less. Albert's achievement was not merely to get the IRA to stop killing people. He managed to get the Republican movement to accept the principle of consent. The acceptance that a united Ireland could come only about with the consent of the people in both parts of the island represented a fundamental shift for Republicans, and it is one on which all the subsequent political progress in Northern Ireland was based. The tragedy for Albert was that the qualities of stubborn single-mindedness that enabled him to achieve what nobody else could in relation to the North also brought both his coalition governments crashing down, one with the Progressive Democrats led by Des O'Malley and the second with the Labour Party led by Dick Spring. However, his towering achievement in establishing the framework in which the IRA campaign came to an end put his political shortcomings into perspective. His predecessor, Charlie Hyde, reputedly told Margaret Thatcher in 1981 that history would remember the politician who solved the Irish problem rather than the one who was best on the economy. That accolade has to go to Albert Reynolds, who will also be remembered as a Taoiseach who managed to lay the foundations for a lasting settlement. And he did this with the help of John Hume, the SDLP leader, Gerry Adams, Sinn Féin leader, President Bill Clinton, and his friend, British Premier John Major. John pointed out yesterday that as well as working for better North-South relations, Albert also moved relations between the Irish and British governments onto a new plane that led directly to the warm relationship that now exists between the two countries. My own abiding memory is of a courteous, kindly, and generous man of considerable ability. I recall the day he was appointed Taoiseach in February 1992. I handed him a 2-page memorandum to explore how members of the Irish diaspora, between 70 and 80 million, could be hugely beneficial to Ireland's economic progress. My suggestion was that the Irish semi-state bodies in the States should draw up a list of American chief executives who were of Irish extract, find out who was genuinely interested in their Irish heritage, and then ask them to serve on an international committee. To his credit, Albert followed up the idea and took it on board as a government initiative. He appointed an international marketing committee of mainly American chief executives of Irish descent. Of course, as you know, there are between 40 and 50% of the chief executives in America are of Irish descent. And I mentioned that the committee could form an important network of contacts for the 160,000 Irish employed in American companies here and for the 80,000 Irish employed in American companies in the States. And it could also act as a sounding board for ideas to help market Ireland. That International Marketing Committee meet every year, and out of their meetings came the idea for The Gathering, which is an outstanding success last year, attracting thousands of Irish from all over the world, and a considerable boost, of course, for the Irish economy. The remains of Albert Reynolds will lie in repose at the Mansion House in Dublin this afternoon, in advance of his state funeral in Donnybrook Church on Monday. The chief celebrant will be his friend, Father Brian Darcy, who has been suspended by the Vatican for his liberal writings. Albert would enjoy that. The inquiry team involved in providing care for the women at the center of the latest abortion controversy here will begin its work immediately. The team will work with a view to completing the report in the shortest time possible. Meanwhile, a number of demonstrations are taking place in Dublin this afternoon following the controversy surrounding the termination of her pregnancy by cesarean section. Pro-life groups are to hold a vigil of hope for the baby that was delivered at 25 weeks, while Choice Ireland have joined calls to repeal the 8th Amendment of the Constitution on abortion at a rally on O'Connell Street. The teenager was refused an abortion by an expert panel of medical experts, and the teenager came to this country to escape a conflict in her home country, which has, of course, not been disclosed. Anything about the lady has not been disclosed to the public. Apparently, she was raped in her home country, but this has not been confirmed by the police or the health authorities. Northern Ireland looks set to be handed the power to slash corporation tax, which will help it better compete with the Republic for inward investment. The corporation tax rate in the North is 20% compared with 12.5% in the Republic. Businesses and political parties north of the border have been campaigning to have the rate brought into line with the Republic. Senior sources in London and Belfast predict an announcement will be made no later than October by British Prime Minister David Cameron. And the planned national train strike due to take place tomorrow and Monday seems certain to go ahead, with no last-minute interventions expected to try to avert the stoppage. Edward Aaron said it anticipated that no train services, including intercity, community or Dart services, would operate on both days as a result of industrial action by members of CIPTU and the National Bus and Rail Workers Union in protest at the unilateral implementation of temporary pay cuts for staff. About 60,000 people will be affected by the planned train strike tomorrow and 100,000 on Monday. The strike will particularly hit fans attending the All Ireland football semi-final tomorrow between Mayo and Kerry. And fresh searches for one of the IRA's so-called disappeared victims are to start in County Meath in the next couple of days. Specialists for forensic investigators are preparing to scour a vast bog at Orristown for the remains of Brendan McGraw, who vanished in April 1978. The IRA claimed he confessed to being a British agent provocateur and military reaction force undercover agent. Of course, this has not been confirmed. The 23-year-old newlywed from West Belfast was among 17 people abducted, murdered, and secretly buried by the Republicans between 72 and 2003. See news also that the two New York hotels owned by Irishman John Fitzpatrick increased their operating profits by 31% last year to just more than $5 million, driven by increased business from international leisure markets and a record average room occupancy rate of 89%. That's pretty good. And finally, she is the newly crowned Rose of Tralee, representing Kerry, the festival, and Irish communities abroad. But all bets are off as she dons her Mayo jersey tomorrow. The 2014 International Rose of Tralee, Maria Walsh, who of course represented Philadelphia, says she's in the process of extending her trip so she can wipe the smirk of host and Kerryman Dáil O'Shea's face when her side are beat Kerry at Croke Park tomorrow. She was born in Boston, and Maria returned to Shrewl in County Mayo with her family 20 years ago when she was just 7. And in sport in the English Premiership, just a couple of goals scored. Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0, Crystal Palace 0, West Ham 2. That's half-time score there. Swansea 1, Burnley 0. Swansea, of course, beat Man United last week. And Chelsea 0, Leicester 0. Of course, the big game tomorrow is the Man City versus Liverpool. In the Scottish Premiership, Inverness 1, Celtic, who fielded almost a second team, 0. They're playing in a Champions League match in the next few days. Kevin O'Connor in Roundwood, 64 degrees and sunny. Sloan, Agwef Galair.
Kevin, I also have very fond memories of Taoiseach Albert Reynolds. And even in his shortest visits to New York, Albert many times himself would pick up the phone and say, "When am I going to see you?" And
But sure, when he met all the European leaders, he used to say to Helmut Kohl, "How ya, Helmut?" Right start of the meeting. He was a "How ya" man.
He was a "How ya." Also,
"How ya, Helmut?"
One of his strongest, greatest friendships was with the chairman emeritus of Mutual of America, Bill Flynn. He had, but it was again, very few people who met him could indeed not notice that he was genuine. He had a great sense of humor. He always had a smile, and he took indeed during his years as born in Rooski in County Roscommon, though most people figured particularly on your Sheridan here, he was true and true Longford man, and of course he
was near the border anyway.
Absolutely,
border, yeah.
But he had such a background. He and his family, his brother in particular, started and made
13 ballrooms all over the country. Yeah,
dance halls, the ballroom
right.
scene.
Yeah.
And made a a tremendous impact on the social scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in Northern Ireland, and in fact, I think they can be, you know, Albert and his family can be credited with giving a birthplace to the show bands who became known throughout the world. And but he always had a great sense of when to show them and when to play them and when to move on. And I suppose his next to his ballroom ventures, his pet food plant in Áine Sheridan's hometown of Edgeworthstown, that was amazing as well, you know, in that he knew how to turn a buck. He definitely...
Yeah, and he had the common touch, but he was a pragmatist, and that helped him, of course, in politics.
Absolutely.
Later on.
You know, he also, I think history, unfortunately, will, you know, probably record and the emphasis of his, you know, not being able to hold a coalition government together because he was single-minded, and he probably breaks all records in terms of having two coalition governments and what amounted to, you know, or less than 3 years on the job. However, let us focus on the fact that we all look back on the troubles in the north. Everybody told, there wasn't in Albert's own telling, he said, not one single person thought that you could even get to talk to the IRA during that period of time. And if you could get to join or to talk to them, how then would you get to speak with Prime Minister John Major and even talk about some kind of a peace declaration, which indeed became his hallmark of fame, the Downing Street Declaration in 1993. And that became the blueprint for peace in the in an area that was predominantly, you know, British Protestant territory, you know. And he very successfully he pressed the IRA, you know, to call a ceasefire in 1994, only to be, you know, chucked out of government shortly thereafter. Some would say that Albert had he had an idea a minute, and that in fact what he did was try to maximize his attention on so many issues that maybe between the stools he fell.
But when he saw a good idea, he would grasp it immediately, you know.
That's it.
My suggestion, though, was taken up by him there immediately.
Yeah.
And all
that became, that again, Kevin, and I do remember, also, you're discussing that on our program.
Yeah.
And he, you didn't give him much chance indeed. You put it into his fist before he had a chance to get his waistcoat off. And
that's right. He said, it's a great idea. I'll do it. Immediately,
yeah.
He said, great idea. I'll do it. That's what he said to me on the steps of government building. So, and he did. He went ahead with it immediately.
He was,
he was also, I suppose, lucky that John Major, they were great friends when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer, Albert was Finance Minister. And it was so fortunate that they were so good friends, such good friends. They had lots of rows.
They did.
They made it up.
And they had lots of rows.
They saw the big picture, you know.
Yeah, they had lots of rows in public. And I think that, you know, John Major put it best when he said, that Albert knew that he had to account, you know, to to his followers, and obviously John Major likewise. But let's hope that history will record that Albert, as he was known, that Albert will get credit for the very first peace declaration in the Downing Street Declaration. Again, the blueprint for everything that would follow. A great
and
man.
Let's also recall, isn't it, his ability to sell Ireland, this is on the economic front, helped to bring about the first wave of multinational software investment into Ireland, which by the early 90s had led to an incredible scenario where Ireland overtook the US as the largest exporter of software in the globe, and that of course led to the great Irish growth in the 90s. So that was all started by Albert, really.
Right, and
On the economic front, he was also a tremendous success.
And obviously, you know, his ability to approach and to give that Hawiya handshake definitely worked wonders here. You know, with Clinton and with indeed a lot of the political leaders along the way, but he was very. He wasn't the easiest.
Can do.
A can do fella, and I think that most people felt those who didn't know him say, "Well, you know, roll an idea by Albert, and he's going to say, sure, you know." But actually, when he said, as in your case, when he says, "Good idea, I'll do it," you could be sure it got done. His funeral,
his son is delivering the oration. His son Philip, who of course is running the pet food factory in Longford, he's delivering the oration on Monday, state funeral in the Sacred Heart Church in Donnybrook. That's where, near where Albert, I thought he'd have a funeral in Longford, but no, it's just a state funeral at the Sacred Heart Church. And it's also interesting, and Albert would have enjoyed it, the fact that Father Brian Darcy, for his liberal writings, has been suspended by the Vatican.
I know. Boy. Okay.
But he, of course, with the Archbishop of Dublin would be there as well, Diarmaid Martin.
Yes.
He will also be there, but the chief celebrant is Father Brian Darcy.
Yeah. Boy, great memories, fond memories of Albert. And, of course, most people will remember that wherever Albert was, his wife Kathleen was not far away. And,
she was tremendous.
A power couple, if there ever was one.
And there are seven children. Yeah.
Seven. Again, God rest him. He left his mark, and indeed, most people would say that it would be very difficult, indeed, to not like a great leader. There was nothing cute about him. There was nothing. He didn't have two sides. What you saw in Albert is exactly what you got.
What you got? Yes, exactly.
Kevin, you know, Kevin, we indeed will share many fond memories. Kevin O'Connor from Roundwood, County Wicklow in Ireland.